Happy Miniature Golf Day and welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast. Here at the 54 Problems Podcast, National Miniature Golf Day is one of our favourite days. It's a day where miniature golf, all forms of mini golf, is showcased on social media, across social media, and we love to see it. What we're going to do here to celebrate is carry on a tradition that we started last year, where we invite some guests into our virtual time machine to take us on a journey to six mini golf courses that mean something to them, and us as an audience get to go on this wonderful virtual mini golf trip with them. So I'm very excited for that, and that's what we're doing here to celebrate Miniature Golf Day. But we would love to see you do things as well. So if you're listening to this and you have any interesting pictures that you want to share, today's the day to pop it up on your social media and celebrate National Miniature Golf Day. Before we get started though, we've just got time for my favourite part of the episode, which is where we say thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us continue to do this podcast. So thank you very much to champion of the podcast, Sevi Kukielka, for all your support since the last National Mini Golf Day and into this one. We really appreciate it. So let's welcome on our guests who we're going to give full control of this space and time machine to as they take us on a virtual mini golf road trip. Together they are a couple of putts. Please welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast, Tom, Mr. T. Loftus, and Robin, the pink putter Schwartzman. Hello, hello, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing this journey with us. How are you both doing?
We're fantastic. It's spring-ish, summer-ish in Minnesota and the United States, which means we don't have several feet of snow or several meters of snow, I guess, for those in Europe. And we can play mini golf outside, which is not a thing we can say almost 6 months out of the year, it feels like.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that you're outside again playing mini golf. So I introduced you. I said that together you are a couple of putts. For people who might not know what that is, can you describe what a couple of putts is and what you do?
Yeah, so a couple of putts is a mini golf endeavor between myself and Tom, Mr. T. Loftus. We had our first date back in 2011 at a mini golf course.
Okay.
And then we kept dating and we kept going to play mini golf together. And that quickly spiraled into documenting, reviewing courses, which spiraled into designing and building and consultation. So we took all of that together and smashed it into the name A Couple of Putts.
Yeah, and it really came out of the fact that Robin, in addition to being like a caricature artist and amazing illustrator, is also well-versed in fabrication using CNC router, laser cutter, and 3D design. And so when we started documenting that we were playing mini golf on our website, people that we knew at a local museum, the Walker Art Center, was like, well, we don't know anybody else documenting mini golf. You're going to be our experts. We've been doing it for 2 months. And do you want to submit an idea? And that just sort of was the impetus to leading us down the rabbit hole. But Robin already had many of those skills already, having built sort of themed environments in grad school and in her art practice.
Yeah, okay. So you started this endeavor in 2011. You say you visited various mini golf courses. So I think you're the perfect guests to take us on this virtual road trip. How many? Do you know about how many you visited since you started? Tom is shaking your head.
Tom's got a spreadsheet.
I have a spreadsheet. We're definitely over 400. And it depends on how you count. If you count, if you count each individual 18-hole course within larger complexes, the number starts to balloon quite a bit. We've probably been to about 400 different
facilities
for lack of a better word.
Sure. So this is going to be the first time where a pair of individuals, a unit, is stepping into this machine to take us on this virtual road trip. One of the things was that you had to choose the six courses that we're going to. You had to choose them together and agree on them. Without giving anything away, how did you find the selection process? Was it easy? Were there some courses that you knew straight away that you wanted to visit? Were there some that you had to think about a little bit? How did you find it?
Well, I would say our biggest arguments as a couple are usually over mini golf, and this list was very little arguments.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, cool. Okay, so in addition to this spreadsheet that you have of the courses that you visited, do you also keep like a spreadsheet bucket list of courses that you want to go, or is it sort of in your head?
It's a spreadsheet with multiple tabs with a bucket list by state and or country.
That's amazing.
So I think part of it's just I'll go down a rabbit hole. I'll see one course that looks cool. Maybe we should go there someday because it's a state or a place we hadn't been, and I'll just add a few more. And then when we're thinking about travel, it's like, ooh, this place has got X amount of courses. Let's go here, 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 and here. And a lot of what we do is just try to track down what we think are the most interesting, mm-hmm. especially when we travel, because I think we'd rather document less and play more fun ones than, I think in the past, we've probably pushed our luck our first trip. Then we went out to the Jersey Shore. How many did we play that day? Like
too many.
Eight courses. Robin got sick at one of them because it had black light. We were both way too much sun and heat. And I think as we've gotten older, we've gotten smarter. But then again, I just came back from Sweden and played an inordinate amount of mini golf courses in a very short period of time and did not know my limit. So that's like a reminder, like sometimes you just gotta like know when to say when.
But we do have six for today. We did put a limit up.
I don't know how many people there can be on this planet that when you talk about knowing your limit, that refers to how many mini golf courses you play in a day. I guess there's got to be quite a small special club you're part of there.
I have a feeling it's probably Pat Sheridan of the Putting Penguin, Richard and Emily of the Crazy World of Mini Golf, and maybe the mini craze couple that's over up in British Columbia, Canada, which weirdly, it's like a lot of couples doing stuff, and we love to follow them and find out about new places.
All right, then. So without further ado, let's step into this machine. What we're going to do for people listening at home on the Facebook post, we'll share photos and links, so as we're talking about this you can kind of look through those with us and get a sense of what it will be like to be there. But for me, I have no idea what these six courses are going to be, so as you talk through them I might try and sneakily look a couple of up to see what's going on. But let's step in the machine, give you over the full controls. It's morning on the National Miniature Golf Day. We're going to start our virtual road trip with the first course of six. Over to you. Where are we going?
Wait, does the time machine get special sound effects edited in?
I don't know.
It doesn't, because we want a very tight budget that this has to be.
All right, and we arrive on September 10th, 2011,
okay,
to Big Stone Mini Golf in Minnetrista, Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And we've arrived at the day of our first date playing mini golf together. It's very warm out.
Very warm.
I think you wore polyester pants and regretted that decision immediately. We had jelly beans and a picnic, and we played, how many holes were there at the time?
Probably 12 holes at the time at this course, and I think they've added one since.
So we played 12 holes of miniature golf, and there are goats and there's chickens running around in some of the holes that have become living obstacles.
Real chickens. Okay, so as you're playing these holes, you've got to be careful of the real chickens running around.
Yes. Okay.
And we probably should give some context. So Minnetrista is about 30 to 45 minutes west of Minneapolis, Minnesota. City that we live, and it's a little bit more removed. And this property that Big Stone Mini Golf is on is an artist's own personal property where they have all of the sculptures and all of this work and a little pond. They have gardens, they have horses, they have different animals. So it's like very much in a rural farming area, and it's just kind of wide open. You can go to Big Stone and just have a date and not actually play mini golf. They have like an oversized chess game and shuffleboard and a checkers game and play ping pong on a granite homemade ping pong table. It's a really wild space that even if you don't like mini golf, you'd like it. But it's the course is made by an artist and it's really wild, and it's like a mix of organic materials and turf that was more or less laid right on top of the ground. So mm-hmm. then when we're going back to 2011, mm-hmm. the course definitely, the turf was a little fresher and it played a lot better over the years. They've hammered it down a bit, but it's like putting on concrete. We go every year on our first date anniversary as well as our wedding anniversary, okay. because that's also where we got married. We got married in 2019. That was our backup time because we didn't actually get to play around a mini golf on our wedding day, but we invited all of our guests to play mm-hmm. on the course. But we got married there and got all our wedding photos, the place we had our first date. And of course, it was mini golf.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. I'm so glad that you brought us here. That's really, really nice. I've had a quick look at it. I'm seeing like spider sculptures and things like that. Is the course themed at all, or is it sort of more eclectic?
I would say it's pretty eclectic. The overarching theme would be stone, right? Hence okay. the name Big Stone. Lots of large like rock or tree trunks, or using, again, yeah. more like natural materials to create obstacles. So a little bit more of a nature-ish theme, mm-hmm. but not really honed into anything in particular.
Yeah, there's a hole that's particularly cool, especially on a day where the sun's shining in, where it's an upside-down boat that's rusted out, that's above your head. So you're under a boat, and in the little holes in the side of the boat, there's these faux stained glass things that are made of, what are they, like acrylic or wax or
hot glue? I don't know.
Hot glue, something. But it's okay. But they're made of these different colors. So when you're playing in it, you get this stained glass window effect, but obviously made not like stained glass window. It's outdoors, it's durable, and it every year it's just kind of a cool hole. And then there's this big metal dish like on its side that you're hitting up and rolling the ball down. It doesn't play so well these days, but it's a place wherever we tell people about this course, they're like, yeah, I've never played anything like that. And frankly, like, that sent us down the rabbit hole because we have
the start of our story. Yeah.
We haven't played anything since. We hadn't played anything independently. We both loved mini golf independent of knowing each other, and found that out pretty quickly. But this was like a completely new realm, you know, having traveled to different tourist areas, we just hadn't seen anything like that.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, from the looks of it, from what I've seen, it looked like quite a traditional adventure golf course with the brick borders. But actually hearing you describe that boat hole and the dish hole on its side, it actually sounds like there's quite a few unique holes as well, which sounds great.
We're going to hop back to 1950s now.
Okay. Okay, take us there. Take us to the 1950s.
So we are going to Morton Grove, Illinois, mm-hmm. to the original location of what is now Parking Mini Golf. Parking Skill Golf, right. In the Chicago suburbs. And at the time, it was at a golf range called 4G Fairways, George's Gorgeous Golfing Garden. Wow. They had a mini golf course that I believe on that property they called Parking, or it in the new property that it's currently existing at called Parking. And it was family owned and run and continues to be. We've played the current version of the course a lot. For it being a 7-hour drive from our house near Chicago, every time I think we've been to Chicago since we initially played it in 2012, we've went out of our way to play it. It's the course that we easily, like, when people say, what's the best mini golf course that you've ever played? That's it.
Wow.
parking is lovingly taken care of every year, the way that they clean up the obstacles and the hedges around it and the massive pink castle. It's mini golf perfection. And the cool thing is, the competitive mini golf organization I helped found, the American Mini Golf Alliance, that Robin does all our design for, we had added one of our events as the MC Mini Masters, hosted by Mick Cullen, which every year of the 25 years he's ran it, finishes a long binge day of mini golf over 6 rounds. The last 2 rounds are at Par King. So we've gotten to finish up the day there the last 2 years, and me 3 years, and play it there every year. And we're planning on going again this June. And we had our engagement photos taken there, and we went out of the way to get those done. And yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, what can you say about it?
I want to rent an apartment on the second floor of the Pink Castle that overlooks the course. So I'll be there in retirement. And yeah, we love the current version of the course. But if, yeah, in our time machine, we'd love to go to the original course and just see what was the foundations for what we think is the very best.
So what do you think we would have seen in 1950s? Do you have any idea how it would have been different or what it would have been like?
I think there's always been a number of Chicago features like the Sears Tower that have always been in it. There's lots of holes with really like steep inclines, and the ball moves in really wild and extreme ways. There's huge oversized characters like you would see off the side of the road in the 1950s of that style, again, that we had talked about liking. I don't know if they had the Pink Castle back then, but I think for us, just seeing what that was, which clearly influenced what then they did with their current course, which we love so much, would just be fascinating. I think if nothing else, as we're building and designing courses of our own, yeah, and it looks like they did have a castle and it was fairly similar. We're looking at helping people build and design courses as a couple of putts. Part of what we're working out is what do we need to do to make the best mini golf course of our own at some point down the road?
Yeah. Okay. I've just had a look at it just now. It looks fantastic. I would love to visit this place. It looks so bright and vibrant and colorful, and the Pink Castle just looks amazing. Actually, when you Google it, a couple of putts is the fourth result in terms of the I think, Robin, you're stood there on hole 15, I believe, when you have a look for the pictures. Can you talk about a couple of the holes? What does it play like? Because it certainly isn't classic adventure golf, maybe a bit more sort of crazy golf area, more unique holes. What's it like to play?
Yeah, a couple of my favorite holes, obviously the roller coaster hole. So you put into a narrow channel to get into the little conveyor belt elevator that brings your ball up to the top. Cool. And then it drops it down this lovely old school mini wooden roller coaster, and you get to watch your ball roll down the track, take some turns, and then it drops it onto a lower green. Chances of a hole in one are very low the way the ball drops. Usually it's a 2, but it doesn't matter because it's really about the journey of the ball. And we talk about this a lot as a couple of putts, is like one of the magical things about mini golf is kind of living vicariously through the adventure of the ball itself. So while you can't physically maybe traverse all of these spaces, your brain kind of follows along with the ball as it takes its journey, and it brings your mind to that space. So watching it go down the roller coaster is really, really exciting. Another really fun one there is, I guess I'd call it like a tiki hole, where you hit it into the mouth of like a tiki god, and then it goes up and falls down one of like 3 different bamboo tracks. And depending on which track it takes you, obviously one of them puts you right out to the cup for the ace shot, and others set you very off course. But it goes down through a funnel on one of them, and it's just a really fun way to watch the ball move. Tom, what's one of your favorites there?
There's so many.
Yeah, I know. We could go on and on.
The Super Looper is another one where you hit it. If you hit it in the right track, it goes up this elevator, and it goes probably 12 feet up in the air, and then it drops it down this massive loop where it does this back and forth kind of thing, and it kicks it out in the green. And it's just another one of those wild ones to watch. There's another one with this cowboy, fiberglass cowboy on a horse, where if you get it in the right track, it pretty much tracks out to a hole in one. And then this huge horse and cowboy move back and forth when you get it. And the thing with these types of courses is they've existed over time, but so few of them work regularly. Right. And the thing about Park King is we've rarely been there where more than one hole isn't working, if that.
I don't remember any holes ever pumpkin, out of water.
Like the pumpkin head hole.
Okay, all right, the pumpkin
head. The pumpkin head hole wasn't working, but everything else, and then they tweak it too. Like they're out there not only fixing things, but tweak it every year when they see things.
Yeah, they put a fresh coat of paint on the entire course every season. It's just immaculate.
Yeah, it's the number one place to go, and it represents like a certain style, and there's tons of courses of that style. But I feel like it's consistently in the best shape and just lovingly maintained.
Okay, so that was wonderful, by the way. That was amazing. I've had a great day so far. Where to next?
So next, hold on, we need our sound effects. Tom, let's you cue the machine.
Here we go.
Whoosh.
All right. Next, we are going to Pinehurst, North Carolina, to the mansion at Thistledew. And Thistledew was reportedly, supposedly, maybe one of the very first mini golf courses in existence.
Oh, okay.
So we actually got to visit the estate in 2019, thank you. Yes, time is a blur. And when we visited the estate, it was for sale. We contemplated buying it, but that's not in our current reality. And there's a speakeasy in the basement and all kinds of fun things. However, the gardens used to be home to, a nine-hole miniature golf course. 18-hole miniature golf course. And so we got to walk on the grounds where the holes once were, and we got to look at old photos and an old illustration of the original course and kind of stand and be like, this is exactly where hole three was. but we'd love to go back in time to when the course actually existed. So that is where we're heading next.
Been early 20th century, probably around 1918, I think is when the game mini golf began. And when we went to the property, it was for sale and there wasn't open, but the gate that they had to their backyard like happened to be unlocked, so we happened to walk into the backyard to get a couple better photos and angles and sort of use the archival photos that you can find online in a lot of places.
And we've got some in our review where we documented the estate in its current state. but then we kind of do side-by-side photos, pairing it with some of the historical.
Oh, cool. Okay. Just for maybe international listeners, I don't know, but what is a speakeasy? So you say there's a speakeasy in the basement.
Yeah, a speakeasy, a hidden bar during Prohibition in the 1920s here in the States. Alcohol was banned. And so, of course, when you ban alcohol, people still find a way to make and drink alcohol. So speakeasy were kind of hidden places where people could drink illegally. And this one was in a home in a basement tucked away. The thing I love about this course is the name, right? We said it's Thistledew. T-H-I-S-T-L-E space D-H-U. But the story behind the name is that, they built the course and the owner of the estate kind of looked up and goes, this'll do. And then they just evolved that into the name of the course.
It's nice that we're here as well, because on our last road trip with Richard Gottfried, we went to the St. Andrew's putting green as well. So it's nice to get this perspective also. Just before we move on, can you speak a little bit about, you say you had these side-by-side comparison photos. So kind of what would the course have looked like? What was the style? You said it was on a grass, on a kind of cut grass.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was real grass putting greens. I think they used a lot of like a wood, like a little wood bridges and shrubs and bush elements. Not huge, right? Like maybe 10 to 20 foot long holes. One that was maybe a little bit more of a little chip shot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then there's kind of a central pavilion area and some flower beds. And so the original path and the flower beds and pavilion were still there. So we were able to really find our place and look at the diagram of the original course and traverse it and say, okay, where we're standing is where this hole would have been. So
yeah, a lot of history there for sure. It's nice that you were able to visit there as well. So we've been in the first half of our journey to the site of your very first ever proper date. We've been to one of the most amazing visually courses that I've ever seen and really want to go to now, and then to this historic course, one of the first proper mini golf courses. Where are we off to next?
Shoo. Sound effects. We're going back forward in time.
Okay.
And I'm passing this off to you.
And this one, I don't know what the best year would be with this one, mm-hmm. because this course is known affectionately as Goonie Golf and Spring Lake Park, but when they closed, they were called Spring Lake Amusement. And on a couple of putts, I documented the history of the course because it unfortunately closed in about 2017 or 2018. I can't remember exactly, but it was a big bummer that it did. And we have the sign, that the big massive sign that they had outside that said miniature golf in our living room right now.
Wow.
As sort of our memento. But it was the property was part of a U.S. chain that cropped up in the middle 20th century called Sir Goonie Golf that had all of these massive, huge obstacles and characters on the course, dinosaurs, fairy tale characters, Humpty Dumpty, and all of that. And they kind of had a similar look on all of them, but they had two 18-hole Sir Goonie golf courses on it. At one period in the 80s, they had a water slide. And I don't think we'd want to go to that one, even though the course was probably in good shape. Mm-hmm. But when they got rid of the water slide for weird, dubious insurance reasons that were going on with water slides in the 80s or 90s, we found out, they added this challenge course that when it closed was, unfortunately, the turf was in bad shape and it was really, really difficult. And because the turf was so fast, some of the holes were like nearly impossible. They're just wildly difficult. But I, being more into competitive mini golf nowadays than I was then, would love to see how that course plays for tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have like an event at the whole property where you're playing the two Sir Goonie golf courses and their challenge course that they had there. So probably in the early aughts, maybe around 2010 or 11, when we first went there, when I think the turf was in good condition and the obstacles were all more or less working. But yeah, I did a massive, massive deep dive on the course after it closed, on, you know, all the iterations of it. The owner of the course, when it closed, her husband had passed a couple years prior to that, and it was his sort of passion thing, and she didn't really have the passion to keep the business going. Mm-hmm. That at that time, frankly, mini golf at that course was not really doing all that well. So I asked her if she had any archival stuff, and she gave me access to Polaroid photos from the 70s through the aughts. And so I scanned several hundred photos and took the best and put them in like an 8-part series on our website that kind of documents the history of the course, the history of the chain, the three different courses, and went like a little nutty on it.
I'll tell you what we can do as we travel back to the challenge course, or maybe we traveled forward because we left from one of the first ever courses. But when we get to the challenge course, we can organize a tournament. So we'll do that. We'll organize a tournament. We'll get a gang together and we'll play a tournament on this old challenge course when it was in its prime. I'm looking at some of the photos now. I'm not sure I found the challenge course, but what I have found are these huge statues. Looks like dinosaurs and beavers stood over the holes. You mentioned moving obstacles as well, or maybe just obstacles. Can you talk through what some of those were?
Yeah, well, the dinosaur is a classic. His his little T-Rex arm moves up and down, and attached to it is a kind of a string or a chain, and at the bottom of the chain is a little caveman painted on a piece of steel. So as the caveman moves up and down, it blocks the path to your ball. So it's a timing shot. So that one's really classic. And then there's also a castle with, I think, like Sleeping Beauty painted in a window, or Rapunzel or something. And, you know, of course, the castle door opens and closes, and so you got to time your shot. Things like that. A lot of them are more still obstacles, with some like narrow pathways or, yeah, you know, some fun putting challenges. But yeah, there's a couple things in motion.
Yeah, we're constantly inspired by like really like small things on that course. I know Robin constantly references this one hole that has a big cowboy hat that blocks the center of the path of the cup. And you can go around and kind of ride the edges. But on the other side of the cowboy hat, there's sort of like a hazard where imprinted or below the normal surface of the turf, there's a rougher turf that drops down, and it's in the shape of a cactus. And it's this like super cool thematic kind of, I don't know, I guess it would be a sand trap, but no sand. Mm-hmm. It's just rough turf that works with the theme. Because I think a lot of things that we see on courses, it's like, here's a circle cut out and they're sanded in or rough in it. And this was like, here's an area cut out and it matches the theme of the hole. And for us, the story of the hole is so much more interesting when all of it works together, including the gameplay and the little details. The big details are great, but the little details, like one of them, they had these corny tombstones with like little sayings on them that are sort of like those Simpsons Halloween episodes.
I'd rather be in the sand trap.
Yeah, like it was all these silly things that they're just like clever little touches. And from that series that I did on the course, you can see that they repainted certain holes, that they reskinned them with a new theme in some cases. And I don't know, there's something about that we really love that, again, connects even with parking, where people don't sit still with a creative mini golf course and they watch how it plays and they kind of tweak it to make sure the experience of people there is closer to being like what most people would hope or expect out of like a theme park.
Yeah, okay. It's great to hear this perspective from you as someone who was originally from the UK, started playing mini golf in the UK. We don't have anything like this. So it's awesome to hear. It's awesome to hear about and to see it a little bit with these big, huge obstacles. Also, what's been interesting so far with the sort of free, more novelty, interesting, arty courses that we visited, none of them have one overriding theme or some anything like that. It's, as you say, it's per hole almost, with a theme for the hole and a story for the hole, which is really cool as well, because, you know, in the UK you tend to have a lot of, oh, this is pirate themed, this is dinosaur themed, this is island themed, but this looks a lot more varied and interesting as well. So that's been really, really cool.
That's a perfect segue into our next stop. Cue the... And our next stop is season one of Holy Moly, the miniature golf wipeout meets mini golf television show on ABC Television Network.
In the U.S., and both of us were on season one. It was a huge surprise to us when we got out on the set what it was. It had been pitched as this show as Mega Miniature Golf, and we went through a casting process. It hadn't existed. There hadn't been any competitive mini golf show like this on TV. We were told there might be celebrities and it's going to be the wildest course we'd ever seen. And we're like, well, we'd seen some pretty wild stuff. And, you know, we eventually, you know, through a long casting process, fly out to California, find out right after we land, my favorite basketball player, pretty much almost of all time, Steph Curry, is connected to it. Rob Riggle is going to be doing something with it, and then other celebrities potentially. So we're like, this is a trip. And so we're staying in a hotel in Santa Clarita, California, and I go out first because we played on different nights for filming. Mm-hmm. And I get out to set on a Friday night, and nothing could have prepared me for what I saw. Saw 25-foot tall windmills with blades that were intended to knock a person off of a hole that also had a putting surface and a smaller windmill between them that I was going to have to play that night. I was already like nervous, anxious, and excited all at once. And all of a sudden we were playing this, and just looking around the set, it was like, this is literally what we've dreamed about as like a fantasy wild mini golf course, where the experience of the ball and being able to travel with it, we actually did.
A giant fake ice mountain with a 8-foot polar bear.
Covered in a mountain covered in lube. So it was like touching on things of, you know, game shows when we were kids, like Double Dare. And it was just like we had no inclination that what it would be in getting ready for it. And it was just incredible. And in season one, so the show is like Wipeout meets mini golf and has these massive obstacles. Season one, the obstacles were far less violent. They got a little bit more out of control in season two through four, and we'll see what they come up with. But there was lots of things where you get genuinely hurt. I mean, and you could in season one, but it didn't feel like the intention was as violent. So I think we would go to season one.
Well, we'd go to season one because, spoiler alert, we didn't make it to the finale. So we didn't get to play as many of the holes as we wanted.
So you want to rewrite history?
Well, we don't need to go back and win, but we just want to go back and have a chance to play all of the holes.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for bringing us here. It's so unique that you have this story. I mean, how many people ever in the world have played on a Holy Moly course, right? It must be
200 something.
200 being a handful, basically, of people. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I was saying, and the best part about going back to it, honestly,
is the friends we made.
And getting to re-experience it with them. That's how my podcast co-host and I, Pat Sheridan.
One of them's going to be here this weekend.
Yeah, yep. Pat will be here this weekend. Pat and I had exchanged emails and social media posts, but that was the first place that we met, was on set. It's how we got to know Robin Ventura and Randy Rice, who became friends with us. And when we all lost
Evan Rundgren, Evan Michael, so many great people,
like wonderful people that we met through this experience. And even just like all of the exchanges, the tone of it was so incredible, because the show makes it out that everybody like is really diehard mini golfers, but there was only a handful. But even the people that weren't, the tone of it was really, really sweet behind the scenes. The show doesn't capture it, but I watched two people that were supposed to be competing against each other for big prizes on these holes. And they were like any of us, if we were to go out and play and celebrated someone when they made a good shot, they were having fun together on this course that was just ridiculous. Nobody had been on TV, probably, of all of us. We all knew this was going to be unique, but the tone of it was really, really nice. I think the show came out being a little bit more, I'm the blank and blank of mini golf and people getting hit by windmills. But behind the scenes, like, people were waiting hours and hours and hours between playing each hole.
Mick Cullen,
we met him via that.
Sorry, so many names.
That is great.
We sat for hours waiting to play, and people were like playing Uno and card games and talking about it.
Okay, so we're going to go to Holy Moly, and we're going to muscle ourselves on and make sure we play every single hole that they have. Can you give us a couple of like behind the scenes details that you can only get from someone who was there? So what I wonder is, because I've seen a few clips online and that, is it all one set? Is it actually a mini golf course? Because sometimes with these TV things, they make it seem like everything's connected, but it's separate sets and separate lots and things like that. Is this all actually one true mini golf course as they make it out to be?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's a mini golf course that is a TV set, so mm-hmm. it's not a course like you'd go play with concrete paths attaching sure. everything, cute little lights and flowers. However, you know, that all the holes were in one big location in a ranch up in the mountains in California, and they filmed at night so that they okay. could control lighting and it would look the same for everyone. So you start filming at like 6 p.m. and go till about 3 a.m.
No, it was closer to 9. It was 9 to 5. 9 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Whatever, it was wow. all night. So you're up okay. in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and you mentioned the kind of the randomness element of playing the holes. I think that is something that you can see when you watch it at home. So if you were going to be on season 5, I don't think you'd necessarily be surprised at that. But what is the actual putting surface like? Did you feel like it was a fair, good surface? You know, once if you were lucky enough to get your ball through the windmill, which of course has an element of luck and chance to it, when you're actually on the putting surface, is it a decent surface to putt on?
Yeah, it was okay. You know, they're building it up on like scaffolding kind of structures uh-huh. because it is a TV set. So uh-huh. there's definitely strange breaks, and it wasn't like playing a really good concrete uh-huh. course. I will say the hole that we both got out on called Teed Off, we had to make a 4-foot putt. We were up on this giant golf tee like 20 feet above the water, and a lot of us had to putt from the same side, and all of us who had to putt from that side all lost. I think there was a strange right. break because the ball did, and we didn't get to practice it. So it was
one of the few we didn't get to practice.
Yeah, so sure. they did let us practice the other holes, but that one we didn't, and yeah, the ball definitely took a little break, and I think that was I'll just call it that. It was unfair. That one side is harder than the other side. That's how we lost. So speaking of television.
Okay.
So this
sound effect. So we're gonna end. This is the one where we couldn't quite agree. So okay. the main theme here is amazing mini golf courses on cartoons. However, okay. we couldn't just pick one. So we've got three here. We'll try to breeze through them.
And so we took a little bit of liberties with like space and time stuff, so we are now existing in cartoons.
We've gone to a parallel universe. We've broken yes. through to the metaverse.
I think we jumped into the television.
I think we can allow that. Yeah,
great.
And I think we'll start out with mine because
we go through, do we all kind of become cartoon versions
yeah.
of ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
One of the cartoon characters in this, Robin did a drawing of me as one of the cartoon characters that's somewhere around my desk. It's over there. So the first one would be taking us to the year 1990.
Okay.
And we are on season 2, episode 6, called Dead Putting Society of The Simpsons.
I know it. I love this episode.
We are going to Sir Putz-a-Lot Merry Old Fun Center. And if you are a mini golf fanatic and you haven't sat there with your remote and hit pause a million times during the scenes, you are missing out. The premise of the episode was Bart was playing competitive mini golf against the Flanders neighbor because Ned Flanders and Homer were getting into it and then pushed their kids aggressively into competing on mini golf, and they played a match play tournament that I hadn't realized was match play, with the grand prize of $50 for first, and fourth place got a half off of a price of a game. So it was whatever, but the match play tournament, I guess Ralph Wiggum was in it. I didn't realize it. I looked at the board and probably go back, but there is a gorilla hole that's got a really steep incline, a weird head hole, a boxing alligator, pyramids, an old shoe, and a windmill hole that looks almost identical to a hole that the Castle Golf Company out in California has put on a number of the West Coast courses in the 80s. And so I think we would dig fully into that course. This episode of The Simpsons for myself and my podcast co-host Pat Sheridan is like ground zero for mini golf. That or Karate Kid, the first Karate Kid, are like ground zero for mini golf and pop culture.
Yeah,
sure. I think I remember Bart Simpson does this thing, right, where he closes his eyes to get through the windmill hole to just feel yep. the hole and tune his instincts into it.
Or was that the weird final hole where they end up just calling it a tie. The final hole is Abraham Lincoln from the Lincoln Memorial, where his legs open to the sides. So you have to hit in a hole underneath Abraham Lincoln's legs, which we rewatched the episodes last night to remember them. And there was so many little details that I hadn't caught the first 20 times I watched it that I was like, what a wild course. I would love to see and play that in the world. It would be so much fun.
Robin, I feel like I cut you off there. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was just going to talk about the cartoon that was my ground zero of mini golf and pop culture.
Okay.
Which brings us to part two of three in cartoon land here, which is we're going to go back to 1992 to the Rugrats on Nickelodeon. Season two, episode...
I think it's five.
Ice Cream Mountain. So we're going to head to Funland Golf, where Stu and Drew Pickles, the brothers, play a very competitive game, forget about the kids, and all the kids want is ice cream. So they see the big ice cream mountain hole on the course, and they go on an adventure to find it, only to find out it's not real ice cream.
Oh.
And so they sneak inside looking for the ice cream. The interior of the hole has the hole in one shot intentionally blocked off by the owner so that no one can ever win a free game. But in their hunt for ice cream, the kids move the paper. And so after that moment, everyone who steps up to the final hole gets a hole in one. And then the owner has to give tons of free games away. And then it ends with the kids getting their ice cream. But all the holes on the course are larger than life. The scale of them is ridiculous. There's a Taj Mahal. There's a giant windmill. There's a dinosaur. There's, of course, Ice Cream Mountain with a giant gingerbread man that pops out of the ground to block the hole.
And they have weird house putters that the adults choose to use. They have like a laser sensor. They look like some sort of wacky invention that they upsell to people who are trying to be competitive. It's really, I'd forgotten about that part of it. And Stu Pickles from the show is like sort of a wannabe inventor. So it was like the perfect mark to upsell this product on your mini golf course. And yeah, it's got like a dubious course owner who's like got a thin mustache, and it's just like
maniacal laugh.
It's just like silly. And then Ice Cream Mountain is just ridiculous. The whole course is way oversized. We were rewatching it. It's just like they're babies, like the kids, the Rugrats and the Shore babies. But there's a gingerbread character in the show that's maybe 20 times their scale,
the joy of cartoon land is you can play with scale and there's no laws of physics and gravity. So
there might be a 50-foot gingerbread man that goes in and out of the ground that could cause serious harm, but would be wild to see.
Do you know what, as well, I think I have a very vague recollection of this episode. I'm definitely going to have to go back and watch it now. So you've given us some great things to watch on this evening.
Yeah, you can tell our little age gap here by whose cartoon was more pivotal for them and what year.
Well, and then we had one together that we had.
Yes, we'll wrap up here.
The last season, the most recent season of Bob's Burgers, season 13, episode 8, they have the Putts Giving episode where they try to make mini golf on Thanksgiving, an American holiday in late November, a thing. So we're going to 2022 to Planet Mystery World, which is the name of this course where the majority of the course, or majority of the episode, is the kids focused on this one hole where there is a Yeti that's leg swing back and forth and a big mountain. And when you hit the ball between the Yeti's legs, he says, "Mini golf, yum," which makes no sense. And they completely address it. If you look very closely in the clubhouse of the mini golf course, there's this generic green t-shirt with two putters right next to each other. And
so this would be like the cartoon version of the clubhouse, and the t-shirt that would be for sale at the cartoon version of the clubhouse.
Generic putters on it. And what did you do, Robin?
Well, so Tom took a screenshot of it, which was a really good catch. And then I used my lovely artistic skills and just recreated the t-shirt and ordered them print on demand. So we both have our own Bob's Burgers clubhouse mini golf t-shirts. We're not going to sell them. It's licensed work, but it's just like a fun fan art.
Tom, Robin, that was fantastic. Thank you so much. I loved personally being on that journey with you. I'm sure everyone listening as well loved going along for that journey. Tom, I've already seen what you would look like as a Bob's Burgers character. I know you've got a cartoon of yourself somewhere. Now we're all going to become Bob's Burgers, Simpsons and Rugrats episodes. And you've given us all something to watch later on the evening of National Miniature Golf Day as well. I'm going to go back and check out those episodes. Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a wonderful journey. Thank you for sharing that all with us. It's been really, really interesting. Look, I have a new course now that's right on the top of my bucket list that I really want to go to as well. So thank you for that. Any last comments before we step out of the time machine and turn it off for another year?
Well, we have a couple upcoming things. Robin has designed a new mini golf course that'll be popping up in the next couple of weeks in Minnesota. That's themed around our state fair that we did in collaboration with Can-Can Wonderland, a local, very whimsical themed mini golf course that we have. And then we are, as the American Mini Golf Alliance, on National Miniature Golf Day, hosting a tournament at Loon's Nest at Island Lake Golf. We have a tournament called the Miniest Mini Golf Open. Have the Coziest Mini Golf Open because it was taking place in the winter. And there's a course called the Loon's Nest. So we thought, why not call it the Looniest Mini Golf Open? So we're going to have that this coming Saturday in Minnesota.
Today.
National Miniature Golf Day.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah.
And we're going to have our good friend tying together a number of threads, our good friend Pat Sheridan, in town to play in this tournament for his first visit ever to Minnesota. So it's going to be a really exciting and fun and challenging National Miniature Golf Day, because this is a newer course and it is got some really fussy deuce putts. So we'll see what the scores look like, but I'm guessing we'll probably see scores no better than the low 40s. Maybe someone will get the upper 30s, but it's unlikely.
Cool. Thank you. Good luck today, Tom, with that tournament. People listening, we wish you a very, very happy National Miniature Golf Day. If you're doing anything at all to do with miniature golf, or you have any pictures, historic pictures that you'd like to share, interesting courses, if you'd like to share your own interesting courses where you would go if you could travel anywhere in the world at any time, please do share them on social media. Today is the day to do it. With that said, then, the only thing left for this episode is goodbye from Tom.
Goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye from Robin.
So long.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.